We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's Jeff Orlowski and the franchise, Tim Allen.
It is a final, the game, the series, and the homestand, and I have a headache after this one. I'm going to tell you that right now, and that started in the first inning. The Dodgers take the game in the series 3-1 with a 6-5 victory, and welcome, everybody. Another edition, Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey, and a tough one at Miller Park, and you think that it's going to be a runaway Dodgers victory and then some excitement, and then there's a chance, and we're saying we got a chance, and a lot to unpack in this one. We are presented by the Milwaukee Admirals, hashtag full speed ahead, games 3 and 4, the best of 5 playoff series next Thursday and Friday if necessary. Tickets as low as $8 for the Milwaukee Admirals. All right, Tim Allen, Jeff Orlowski, Sam Schmitz, and happy Easter, everybody. I wish the results were a little bit better. They gave them a go, and I will just start out by saying this, and just let some emotions just fly a little bit. I am sick and tired of the Dodgers right now. I'm done. I'm done with these Dodgers. Just make them go away for several months. Good, they are, right?
Yeah, you don't have to worry about them till the postseason.
Yeah. Wow. These guys, Cody Bellinger, a 2-run swing there. It's really, it's not a solo homer because of what he did with the glove.
Yeah.
In the 8th inning to take a home run away from Yelich. And how do you get so lucky enough if you're Dave Roberts to not have Verdugo out there and you have Bellinger out there in that same position? That is just that's absolute luck. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. It it paid off well, makes him look like an absolute genius, but it was definitely sheer luck.
I'm leaning toward saying I hate this team nearly as much as the Cubs, but you can't do that. So I think just sick and tired of seeing the Dodgers is a better way to put it. These guys are tough. I definitely respect them. Have no problem with that. But just sick and tired of these guys, man. I don't know. Good. It's just good they're going away. The gauntlet of 13 consecutive games between the Cardinals and the Dodgers continues with a 3-game set. Oh, we get a little respite. We get to face the Cardinals in St. Louis tomorrow. That's tough. Brewers with the loss. 13-10 now on the season. I'll go through some of the game notes that I took once the headache started at 1:10 today. Dodgers hit up Woody for a couple of runs in that first inning. Yeah, that's just the one thing, and Council talks about it, and I agree with him. I'm a firm believer in tone settings. For those of you that have listened to this show for many, many years, you know that early in games set a tone. They do. They just do. It's like same philosophy in football, man. I'm not a big fan of deferring. And give me the football and let me go up 7-0. We'll deal with later. Same thing here. Just keep them off the board in the first inning. And Woody could not do that. Dodgers do it again. 2 more runs in the second inning. Brewers are down 4-0. Brewers waiting for a big hit. They're leaving some traffic on the base pass early. And it does come back to haunt them. Woody settles in a scoreless third. Yelich with a couple of walks early. And Grandal, a tough, hard out in that third inning. But again, we go to the fourth inning at this point. It's 4-0. Woody gives up another run in the fourth inning. Jock Peterson, a solo shot, his second homer of the game. It's now 5-0 at that time into the bottom of the fourth inning. And it's right about now that I start taking a look at, I'm not kidding you, I start taking a look at the Brewers' daytime record. Does it seem to you like me that the Brewers do not play well during the day?
Yeah, I haven't looked up the numbers exactly, but overall that is definitely a gut feeling that they play better at night.
Last year during the daytime hours, Brewers 28-31, so not as bad as you think, right?
I mean, you'd only think three under. Worse.
Yeah, just a few games under 500. This year, after this loss, they're 4-3 during the day. In 2017, you go back there, 32-29. So, not horrible, but it just there's a perception there that I feel, and I don't know if it's you like me, feel they don't play their best ball during the day. But mid-game here, it's 5-0 as Woody finishes off the fifth inning of work. Brewers get on the board in the bottom half after an Arcia triple in the inning. It set up the table for Lorenzo Cain, a two-run homer. That made it 5-2 into the sixth inning. Woody pitches to one batter. That's Kershaw. He strikes him out in the sixth inning. And Donnie Hart comes in, finishes off that sixth inning. Nothing for the Brewers, bottom half. Hart, a scoreless seventh inning, and it's 5-2 to the bottom. Something cooking in the bottom of the seventh inning. Orlando Arcia reaches a one-out infield single. Then Manny Pena is hit by a pitch. Couple of runners aboard. Two men on means the tying run to the plate. Lorenzo Cain, you know who's on deck. Lorenzo, just stay out of the double play and get to Yelich. And, yeah, it doesn't happen. The double play hurts the Brewers right there for Low Cain. Jacob Barnes, how about this? A scoreless inning of relief. He strikes out the side in the eighth inning. And that proved to be big because the Brewers come right back in the bottom of the eighth inning with one out after a home run robbing catch by Cody Bellinger. That proved to be really big in this one. Off the bat of Christian Yelich. He pulled that one back in. Brawny then an infield single. Grandal with a base hit. Brings up the tying run again. Brewers battling in this one. Zeus, the tying run. Who felt, raise your hand if you felt confident right there that Zeus was going to tie this thing up.
No one in the studio has their hands up, Timmy.
Yeah, no doubt. And he flies out shallow center, just missed it, as they say. He's been missing fastballs right down the middle for quite some time now. But nonetheless, Eric Thames comes off the bench, and there's our spark of the game with Current Electric, a three-run game-tying home run with two outs in the bottom of the eighth inning. Now it looms large, the catch by Bellinger, for sure. 5-5. As Josh Hader scrambles to get ready in the bullpen. Now, keep in mind he had, 36 or 38 pitches the other night.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that he was unavailable today. Heading into the Cardinals series, it's more of a divisional-type situation. And not to minimize every game, I'm not saying that. In a tie game, I could see with the Brewers being up in that ninth inning, you're trying to close out a victory, and you go to Josh in scramble mode. But they don't do that. Craig decides in the tie game to hold it right there. He felt pretty good. Yelich going to lead off the or they need a runner on in the bottom of the ninth inning. And maybe he's got a pop to win the game with just a run. But Hader gives up a two-out, two-strike, solo shot to Bellinger. I can't, again, tell you, I'm just sick and tired of it. This is the emotional fan side of me talking. Just sick of the Dodgers right now. I've had enough. I don't even want to watch them. If the Brewers have an off day, and they do on Thursday, and the Dodgers are playing, I don't even want to watch the Dodgers, even if they play the Cubs. I'm just done with the Dodgers. Just give me a few weeks to settle down against this Dodger team because I'm just sick and tired of them. And Josh Hader, that two-out, two-strike, solo shot to Bellinger, and that's all it was right there. 6-5, and the Brewers fall 13-10 now. They fall in the series 3-1 to those Dodgers and finish up the homestand. And a tough one at Miller Park. Want to get your reaction on this one? A decent game. I mean, I guess from the midpoint on. I mean, Woody doesn't give up runs early. We got a great ball game for that matter, the series overall, was pretty close outside of the one game.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just you got to come up with these victories, and they don't. That's a tough Dodger team, man.
It is. And besides the results, it was an entertaining series. Like you touched on earlier, Tim, I thought that they rushed Josh Hader. As soon as Thames' ball landed out in the outfield, that three-run bomb to tie it, you know, Hader got up lightning quick. You know, no man has moved that fast except, you know, when you hear dinner time. And for them to sit there and run him out so fast, you know, I would have stuck with Barnes. He struck out the side. He only threw 20 pitches. He's been pitching, you know, fantastic lately. You know, maybe have a quick hook on him in the ninth inning, but I would have at least started the ninth inning with Jacob Barnes out there and have Hader in my back pocket.
Well, and again, we talk about the rotation being a little messy, and I think I'm all right to say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It is a little messy. It's due to lack of production on some of these guys, injury to Freddy Peralta. And if you're going to use Chase Anderson, one of your bullpen arms, then get a bullpen arm in here that's going to pitch. And that's Jeremy Jeffress. If he's not going to pitch and you can't count on him, then what is he doing up here then?
Hello.
This team needs a closer. Guys, they need a closer. And the bullpen is one of the best in the business if they simply get a lockdown closer. I'm not saying Hader sucks in the closer role. That's not what I'm saying. But you feel that, and I applaud the effort. I do. I applaud the effort of the type of scramble mode thought that Council has. They're doing everything they can to win every game. And I do. I applaud that effort. However, when you're going into it with a simple move of a closer, whoever that might be, you might have him in-house already. You might have him in your organization already. Or if he comes from outside the organization, just get the closer. It allows everybody in that bullpen to slide back a little bit, or up, as it were, into roles that are better suited for a Craig Council-handled game and strategy.
And you get to use Hader.
Better at that.
You get to use Hader the same way you used him last year. And if you think the biggest inning of the game is the sixth, you throw him out there in the sixth. If you need an absolute shutdown seventh, you know, two on, nobody out, a one-run ball game, you throw Hader out there. So, yes, having a bona fide closer opens just the amount of options that Council would have in this bullpen. It would just open everything up. You know, everybody wants, you know, talk about Kimbrel and all that, and you know, I'm tired of talking about him, but they've got to figure something out where they can use Hader in the same role that they did last season and get this pen back in order.
If you cannot use Jeremy Jeffress in the situations you need him to, then why is he here?
Yeah, exactly. If you can't use him more than, you know, one out of every 3 days, 4 days, he should still be down in the minors.
This was a hold game. You battled all the way back, and you just wanted held right there. I don't know, man. It's just
such a buzzkill. Because Thames hit that dinger. We're screaming. You know, I know the neighbors at the studio. Oh, you know, God, those guys are idiots over there because me and you are outside screaming and everything. But, you know, it's just – and then Hader serves it up, and it's just like – okay, here we go.
799-1250 to get your reaction on a happy Easter Sunday. Speaking of which, we're going to go back to 1987 and walk you through. You always hear that, and I know some of our audience is a little bit younger, and then, you guys always refer to Easter Sunday, and you never really know what the hell happened that day. We'll walk you through that a little bit later on and have some fun once I cool my jets here a little bit. We'll take a break. I'm not kidding you. Just a massive headache today. And the headache is named the L.A. Dodgers. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. A few other words on the Admirals when we come back. They're in the playoffs. Got some ticket details for those guys coming up in just a bit. And definitely want to get your reaction because there's a lot to talk about here as the Brewers fall 6-5. We'll be back on The Fan.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. a company you can trust. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Welcome back. A tough one today at Miller Park as the Brewers fall 6-5. The final Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals as the Brewers fall in the game and the series. Man, you thought for a second there they would come on back and get the series to 2-2 with a victory today. Wow. All right, here's something to keep you a little bit happier on this Easter. We are presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag full speed ahead. Games 3 and 4, the best of 5 playoff series, Thursday and Friday if necessary. Tickets as low as $8. So go on over and check out Baby Tausch over there at the Milwaukee Admirals. 799-1250 as the Brewers fall 6-5. You guys, are you starting to dislike the Dodgers' heavy lean as much as the Cubs and the Cardinals? Now, I'm definitely heavy lean toward those guys, for sure. I put them in the order of Cubs, Cardinals, and Dodgers. Cubs the most hated. Or sorry, harsh word, disliked in my book.
You don't have to be PC. I'm here.
Okay. So I would put them in that order, but the Dodgers, I just... I'm tired of them. They're exhausting. And that's a good thing, guys. It sort of is, because these are two, what appears to be, in terms of the games, evenly matched teams. Although the payroll does have a little bit of difference there.
It's a very good thing, Tim, that, you know, this is such a good early season test for the Dodgers. I mean, for the Brewers to go toe-to-toe with L.A., it stings. You know, it was 3-3 going into Game 7 of the NLCS. We know how that turned out. It was 3-3 in a season series going into today. We know how today turned out.
Yeah.
So it stings. But the fact that you can go toe-to-toe, back-to-back seasons, you know, all the people that sat there and refused to believe in the crew last season – oh, it's going to be the same old Brewers, you know, they're going to let you down in the end, blah, blah, blah. You know, you saw what the crew could do last year in the playoffs. You see what they can do here in the very early stages of the season without half their team hitting well, without half their pitchers pitching well. It is a very positive thing, and I know that's hard to say after dropping 3 of 4 at home to L.A., but it is what it is.
It is, and it's tough. And it's tough to it really is. It's just a very tough one. Happy Easter, everybody, after this one. 30,000-plus at Miller Park as the Brewers fall 6-5, the final. Are you kidding me? Moments of the game are brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. In the 8th inning, it was Christian Yelich. And then he hits a ball to Cody Bellinger. And then in the 9th inning, it's Cody Bellinger hitting a ball into the stands.
Yeah, I've got the homer call now, if you want to hear that unfortunate.
Let's hear it. Are you kidding me? This is what happened.
Bellinger turns on a ball to right field and deep. They have done it again! Bellinger off Hader! The Dodgers take the lead in the 9th!
And that obviously is the L.A. call on that
one. Yeah, Dodgers Network on that call. That is just it almost seemed like the play-by-play guy there took more pleasure because it was Josh Hader.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's respect.
It is. You want to hear the catch?
Yeah, here we go again. Are you kidding me?
Thanks for twisting the knife here, Timmy.
That's fly ball to right center field. Bellinger to the track, to the wall. He leaps and makes the catch.
That's kind of weak considering how important that catch was.
Yeah, it was. That wasn't a great call. I need some time off. I think what I need. That's what I need. This has been a grind. This has been as just as much fun as it's ever been. And we all know that. But, man, twists and turns within games, within series, within players, who's hot, who's not. We'll get to that in just a second here because there's some still as we dip into 23 games now toward that 25-game mark, and somewhat disturbing numbers. I'm going to sit here and say that these three guys, Braun, Zeus, Shaw, they will hit. I just don't know when. I know they will, but I just don't know when they'll get going here. It's a matter of time. So how much time goes by, I'm not sure yet, because they need to get it going. These nip and tuck games, these tight ball games here, I think the difference makers can't, well, in a number of these games, in say the 10 losses, if these guys, two of the three are hot, say hitting, modest 270.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three, Shaw, Braun, and Jesus. Then I think they have two additional wins.
At least. I would say two to three, maybe even possibly four.
Who's hot, who's not? That is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. 136 is the batting average for Jesus. Let's see. Shaw is 178.
Yeah, 178.
And then you go to Ryan Braun, big home run yesterday. Again, the credit Brawny. Don't let him do it to you, man. Hang with him. 189.
Not good.
189, 178, and 136 through 23 games of the 2019 championship season. I say they have two more wins. And it could be against the Dodgers and an additional one against the Cardinals.
Yeah, like I said, I'm with you. I think it might be more than two. I think you're talking at least three more wins.
But 799-1250, your reaction on the ball game. But again, a question, just make mention. Do you feel that you're either A, sick and tired of the Dodgers, or B, you're starting to hate them as much or near the Cardinals and Cubs? Let's go to Lee. Lee, you're on the fan. What's happening? 6-5, Brewers fall.
Well, listen, I'm with you guys there on the being disgusted with the Dodgers. What even makes it more disgusting is before the Brewers went into L.A. last Friday night, the Dodgers were in St. Louis and laid an egg four straight nights. They just laid down for the Cardinals. And, I mean, that's where if the Dodgers are going to have all this firepower and all this great pitching, it would have been nice if they could have helped the Brewers out that series before last weekend and at least taken two in St. Louis. But I watched a couple of those games. They just laid down.
Yeah, and then when the Brewers won,
they got their mojo back against the Brewers a week ago today.
Yeah, when the Brewers took the first two games of that series in L.A., the Dodgers at that point had lost, six in a row?
Yeah, right. With the Saturday night win last weekend, that was their sixth in a row. And then they beat the Brewers, and I think they'd go on to sweep the Reds. And then we know what happened here at Miller Park this weekend. But I want to say one other thing, and then I'll hang up and see what you guys say about this on the radio. Actually, it's two things. Number one, we've seen now Friday night and today, I don't know what the intangible is, but you can't bring Hader into a tie game. We talked about this before. Closers are funny this way. And I think Knebel even went through that for a while. You got to bring in these guys with the lead. And I don't know what I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't know what the difference is. But tie games, it's just the kiss of death with some of these guys. And then second thing I'll say, and then I'll hang up and see what your other callers maybe have to say and everything like that. The home runs, they're exciting. They're sexy, and I get it. But this team has got to find a way to manufacture runs outside of a home run. I saw so many opportunities all weekend long where there were strikeouts with runners on base, pop-ups in the infield, grounding into double plays. Something happens to this team where they can't manufacture a run with runners on unless they can put it over the wall. And I don't know if that's the hitting coach, but there's got to be much more discipline from the way these guys are selecting pitches. because if there's anything we can pull away from looking at the Dodgers is every single one of them went into those at-bats and looked like Derek Jeter. They were taking everybody 3-2. Then yep. they would foul off a couple of pitches. And, you know, it was taking 10, 11 pitches to get everybody out, including Austin Barnes in the eighth spot.
Yep.
So I'll go ahead and hang up and see what you guys think and see what your other callers think. Have a happy Easter.
Yeah, you, yep, too, you Lee, too. Listening in Maryland on the radio.com app. I agree with you that I don't believe I've seen, and again, I don't keep track of this, I don't know if I've experienced more foul balls from an opponent than the Dodgers did in a four-game set this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing. Guys, it was amazing. It's almost comical. These guys, I don't know what they're I don't know if it's a game thing, game plan thing, or maybe it's just individuals grinding and really being smart.
Well, and this was the second game in a row. They did it to Chase yesterday. They did it to Woody today, where they run up your pitch count in the first inning.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden, you know, you're coming out to start the second, and you're 30-plus pitches already. So yeah, you already know that your day is going to be shorter than it needed to be because you had to go so long and tax yourself so much in the first.
Let's keep in mind that the Brewers dug a little bit of a hole because Woody did give up the five runs. Let's keep in mind, though, they were facing Clayton Kershaw.
Of course.
I mean, you tip your cap to that dude. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. We all know that. However, on the other hand, the closer situation, now, I agree with you that a tie game is something funky that closers tend to not deal with too well over the course of, you know, many, many years. But the unwritten standard rule, and again, it doesn't mean you have to follow it, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree, but the standard rule is tie game at home, you go to your closer in the top of the ninth. You keep it right there, give yourself a chance for a walk-off.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't different than a lot of managers have done over the years. However, in this one, the fact that you did scramble the bats to get him up once you got the game tied in the eighth, that part of it, and a high pitch count on what was it, Friday?
Yeah.
And then a Cardinals series in division. And, at the end of the day, you have to measure what would be the most important game for Josh to pitch in, a win over the Dodgers or a win over the Cardinals?
Well, it's definitely a win over the Cardinals because they're in the Central. Mm-hmm. And, we talked about at the outset of the season how important all the wins that they managed against the NL Central teams were. And it remains the same. So the light is at the end of the tunnel. We get through this three-game series with St. Louis. We don't see them again till what, August? You know, we got through the Dodgers. We won't see them again until the postseason if the Dodgers
Thank
are
goodness.
Lucky enough to get there. So it we'll see. But, it's been a brutal run. But you look at the numbers, both pitching and hitting. The Brewers are in good shape considering the struggles that they're having with a lot of their players.
I'm not kidding you guys. There are times I'm so emotionally invested in this baseball team, as you guys know, for the decade plus I've been doing it. There are times, and this may be one of them, and there have been others just like this, so emotionally invested on the negative side of things. I need the benching. So tomorrow you may not hear me. You may not hear me talk one word about Brewers baseball tomorrow. I may just take the Monday off. I'm not kidding.
Well, all right. Lee said he wasn't a psychiatrist, but if he's got a comfortable couch and a cold one, Lee, give Timmy your address. He'll come over, take a seat on your couch, hang out for a while, and talk anything but Brewers baseball. Let's ease Tim's mind a little bit.
Let's squeeze in Mike here. Mike, before the break, I wanted to get you on here. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's worth the wait, guys. What do you do at Jesus? I'm sick of hearing this every game.
Yeah.
He's hitting the ball hard. Well, yeah, but he hits it up for out every time. I called him out a few weeks ago. I suggested maybe Gamble and left and alternating maybe Braun I know you don't want to hear that at first, or Thames. I mean, you hear this all the time in the NBA and NFL. Adjustment. I think you make an adjustment. Try it. If it don't work, then I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, you got it, Mike, and it's a valid point. It's an absolute valid point. We're almost 25 games in here. You're going to see Eric Thames get more playing time. I'll promise you.
Well,
now,
yeah.
I'm convinced Zeus is going to hit better than a .136.
He better.
But you're going to see Eric Thames. That's his third three-run home run. It looks like he's a little poised to have a bounce-back year, does it not? Just a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to hit 3.25. But he's definitely going to do better.
Quick break here, Timmy. But when we come back, I'll give you my thoughts. And I'm glad you're going to be sitting down for him.
Okay, 799-1250, getting your thoughts on a 6-5, just a grinder of a loss, if that makes sense. I have a massive headache because of this game. Massive. But happy Easter. Smile. The world smiles back. All that good stuff. Brewers baseball. We're knee-deep into it. The 2019 championship season. See, I'm doing therapy to myself today here on The Fan. We'll be back.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. A tough one in Miller Park today as the Brewers fall 6-5. They grind their way back to even after being down 5-0 to Kershaw and the Dodgers. A two-run shot from Lorenzo Cain and a three-run shot in the eighth inning from Eric Thames. And they get it done. Drive of the game with Wrench and Go. How about this, Eric Thames? You're doing it.
Payoff pitch on the way. A fly ball.
+30,000 at Miller Park today for the series finale in the final game of the homestand. Brewers hit the road, St. Louis, and then the Mets. Doesn't get much easier, but it's at least it's not the Dodgers. 414-799-1250 as we go to Evan, is it? Yeah, I believe
yep.
So. Evan, you're on the fan. What's going on?
Evan, you're on the radio, buddy. All right, let me put him on hold, see if we can wake him up.
Yeah, but again, at this point, wins are paramount here, and this isn't the 26-year playoff drought where we say, well, at least they battled, and then they got back into it, and they had a chance to win, and yeah. Evan, you're back on with us. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was at the game today. It was a pretty brutal loss, of course. But I at least want to say I felt positive about seeing Jacob Barnes pitch today. He struck out the side. His off-speed punch stuff has been pretty good this year, and I'm kind of excited what I've seen from him so far. So, I mean, hopefully he's a guy who can kind of, get back to what he was in 2017, and hopefully he's a guy who Craig can put him in some high situations during the game. So that was at least a positive. I was there. I wanted to say some positives, so. Yeah, so Jacob Barnes.
Well, don't you think, though, that a guy like Jacob Barnes, a guy like Jeremy Jeffress, Alex Claudio you bring in here, Alex Wilson you bring in here, wouldn't they all be better if there were a closer, just pick one, that's not named Josh Hader? And that way you can go to Hader 6th, 7th, 8th. And if the closer has saved a couple of games, you can go to Hader, if need be, as the secondary closer.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree with that. I think Guerra has one save on the year, and he's pitched well for the bullpen this year. But he's also a guy who can go extra innings, so I wouldn't really want to see him in the closer situation either. And also Jeffress, even, he's also okay as a closer, but I think he's better for, seventh, eighth inning, in those big situations. So I'm fine with Hader right now, honestly. I will say that.
Okay, good enough. Thank you, Evan. 799-1250. Just a tough one today at Miller Park. And just to reiterate on that bullpen, I'm not knocking Jeremy Jeffress, because you can't knock an all-star that had a 1.29 ERA in 73 games last year. Now, again, he tailed off a little bit late and into the postseason. But nonetheless, the numbers are what they are, and they're extremely good numbers. I mean,
he's a legitimate stud. You cannot take anything away from JJ.
But if you can't go to him right now, then get someone you can go to.
Yeah. And when we're mentioning the bullpen, man, how about a little love for Donnie Hart? You know, he had a couple walks today, but he's pitched well in his couple outings here with the crew so far.
Yeah, not too bad. I agree with you on the walks. They're driving me crazy. Stop walking people. Can you just stop walking people out of the bullpen, please? Just walks, just a killer. Now, again, this may be elevated walk rate for now because it is the Dodgers. And we'll keep our eyes on that when the Dodgers face other teams. If they grind, or if it was a particular game plan against the Brewers pitchers alone, or well, my guess is this is just the way that they grind through their at-bats, top to bottom, everybody. I mean, we're an eyelash away. Talking about the Brewers against the Dodgers, Kike Hernandez, an 0-2 home run.
Mm-hmm.
And this Bellinger, a two-strike, two-out, ninth-inning homer.
Yeah.
I mean, just a couple of pitches here and there. So that I guess that may be a positive to that you're splitting hairs to the point where this easily could have been Brewers 3-1 in the 4-game set.
Absolutely. Like I said, you know, yet again, the Brewers go toe-to-toe with L.A. L.A. is by far the best team out West. And, you know, I would venture to say that at the end of the season, L.A. is going to be one of the top three minimum best teams in the National League. And for the Brewers to sit there and go toe-to-toe and push them to the limits, both
right.
in the NLCS and in the 7-game series during the regular season here, you know, yes, we're upset about the loss, and, you know, I want to throw things, and I was screaming, and am a lot less happy than I was after Thames went yard, but there's still a lot to feel good about.
There is, and they lose the season series 4-3, so toe-to-toe, that's about as tight as you can get in a 7-gamer. But again, it's a 4-3, 7-game series loss to the Dodgers, and it's just the way that it played out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what rubs me the wrong way. It's just the way it played out. It's just wild. A lot of people are getting to us and saying that, you know, it should not have been Josh Hader in that ninth inning. And, you know, let's face it, he gets the first two outs, and Bellinger's one of the best, man. He may end up being MVP. It's him and Yelich to this point, neck and neck, but that would be a correction to a lot of people. A correction of this game brought to you by Milwaukee County House of Correction, and it would have been somebody else other than Hader after what he threw on Friday and, you know, scrambled the Jets after the Eric Thames home run. Wow. We are going to walk you through a little bit of the game that happened in 1987 on Easter Sunday. For those that are old enough, do you remember where you were? It was a day very similar to this, a beautiful sunny day, and against the Texas Rangers, and it was the Brewers had won 11 consecutive games to fire up that 87 season. The team streak is what you always hear about, and we're going to walk you through that and have some details on that. Here are a few highlights from that day, because I was in Madison at that time, and my apartment complex that I lived at, you know how that works. It's just buildings and courtyards everywhere. And
oh, yeah.
Just sliding glass doors, you open up, and you're right there on the patio, and there's three buildings within eye shot, and you can hear people doing dishes. You know what apartment life is like.
Lots of beers getting drunk, lots of bad decisions being made, a lot of fun had by all. Absolutely.
And at that time, I mean, I could step outside and you could hear the game on in a lot of these apartments. You'd literally hear, you wouldn't even have to have a radio in your hand. You just walk through the courtyards and just hear the game. Because, again, it was 11 consecutive, but it was just wild. And when what happened that day, it was just crazy. I mean, people you didn't even know, you're just like, yeah, you know, go Brewers. And you're, you know, pumping your fist and all that. So we'll get to that. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell as well. and see what he had to say about a grinder of a game, Eric Thames and Lorenzo Cain with home runs. Yelich had a home run. Bellinger took that away and then hit one himself off Josh Hader. I'm done with the Dodgers. I think a lot of people are. It's watching a couple of heavyweights, as we discussed last weekend in L.A. and this weekend in Milwaukee. I think Jeff, yourself, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmidt, and me, we all agreed that it's a couple of heavyweights going at it. And, hey, if they're tight ball games, sometimes you tip your cap, but that doesn't mean you can't be a little tired of them. I'm exhausted after this series, that's for sure. 799-1250 if you want to jump aboard as the Brewers fall 6-5 in this one. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag full speed ahead. Tickets available for the playoff series, best of five, Thursday and Friday if necessary. And you can get tickets for as low as $8 to an Admirals playoff game. 6-5 final. We'll be back here on The Fan.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
All right, welcome back. Sorry about that. A Brewers 6-5 loss and a tough one, sort of a nail-biter toward the end. But we need to hear what Craig Counsell has to say about this one. There'll be better days. I get it. Happy Easter, everybody. We're 23 games in after the loss, Brewers 13-10, and still a decent start to the season, but still just sort of aggravating, man, at times. It is. Before we get to Craig Counsell, let's get to Manitowoc and say hello to John. John, you're on The Fan. What's happening?
Hi, Jim. Good afternoon. How are you?
I've been better.
I hear you. The thing I look at all the time, I think the pitching is fine. I don't see anything really wrong with the pitching. What I see is a glaring red light flashing at first base. And I don't know when in God's name they're going to finally decide that Eric Thames should get his job back and put Aguilar off to the side. Eric Thames was a lights-out player 2 years ago. He hurt his thumb last year when they were trying to pick him off at first base, and he slid back in and hurt his thumb. So he lost his job because he was injured. And now Aguilar is playing like CRAP. You know, and every time there's people on base, he strikes out. He can't do anything. I'm only imagining in my mind how many runs might have been scored so far this year if Thames was playing first base. Because we can see what kind of production he has just for the few times he's played this year. I don't know why they don't see that.
And we can't disagree with you. And we discussed that last hour.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
Yeah, you just wonder, John. You wonder how many games. I think it's two. If Shaw, Braun, and Zeus, and again, Zeus is hitting .136.
Yeah.
But home runs. The power's just gone. But if those guys were just hitting let's just even go underneath what we talked about last hour. Let's just say they're hitting .240.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably two additional wins.
Exactly. I agree completely.
And I agree with you on the pitching. I don't have a ton to gripe about with the pitching outside of a little bit of personnel issues. It is a little messy on the starting rotation, but I think they're hanging tough. A Chase performance last night.
And I think if games were more like 8-5, 7-4, that type of thing. You know, with our pitching would be perfectly fine. You know, we've got to get the run production up. We've got to start scoring some runs. That's all there is to it.
They do. It's as simple as that. And we're getting to the point now where there's a good chunk of games, a good chunk of ABs.
I still
say time. I do. Yeah. I'm just going to hang with them a little bit more because what Zeus did last year is worth the investment of time right now. But I don't know when the end date would be.
But see, then I think back to what Thames did 2 years ago when he was lights out. You know, I mean, he was like, what do you bat 300? And he was driving in, I don't know, God, how many runs?
One of the sports announcers,
Chris Roth, up at Channel 2 in Green Bay, used to always refer to him as the Korean Crusher because every time he came to bat, something happened, you know.
It's his third three-run homer of the season. John, good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking to you, too. Take care.
All right.
Well, I would sit there and – you know, I would definitely sit Jesus for a few days and try to have him get his head right. I would start Thames. If Thames, you know, is struggling a little bit, then I would start spelling Thames at first base with Grandal.
And we talked about
have Pena behind the dish.
I get it. And you might if this thing goes on for a bigger window of time. But you may recall our spring training shows, you and I and Billy, that I didn't think it was a lock that Zeus would last as the starting first baseman all season. I had a gut feeling that for two reasons. Number one, the derailment on injury, as John just referred to, would help really exacerbate the bad season that Thames had. And then the lack of production once he did get healthy. I think he was humbled for those two reasons last year. And I recall having that conversation from Arizona. And it wasn't out of the question, at least for me, despite what a year Jesus had, that number one, they were covered really well at first base between the two of them. You're going to go with the hot hand. But number two, it won't surprise me if Eric Thames ends up being the everyday first baseman. But not now. I don't think it's now yet, guys. I really don't. There's a massive amount of production that was proven by Jesus Aguilar last season. Well, for the, you know, four of the 6 months of the season.
There was, and he, you know, like you said, he proved it last year. You talked about it in spring training, and it's coming to fruition now where he is struggling mightily. You cannot have a guy batting 136 with absolutely no power numbers at all playing first base, which is one of the power positions on your baseball team. You expect power out of your first baseman. You do not expect 35 home runs coming from your shortstop. You expect that out of the guy who's playing first base. And when he goes up there and he's swinging and missing at balls right down the middle and just looks completely lost, it is not a good look.
It's not a good look, Jeff, but it does require some time yet. And I will say, you know, we're 23 games in here, a couple of games from my magical 25-game mark where you get a good read on a baseball team. You do. You get a decent read. You can still say it's early, and that's okay, and I would tend to agree a little bit, but it does give you an indication of what you're dealing with here. And so a couple of more games, we're at that 25-game mark, and we'll see at that point, you know, two games, is it going to make the difference? Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Maybe you never know what's going to light the fuse on a guy, but I still have to say a good few more weeks yet for Jesus Aguilar, and I know it's going to be painful. I find it hard to believe that Braun Shaw and Zeus are doing what they're doing at the same time. I just cannot see that lasting much longer.
No, that's why you are a much better father than me, because you got a lot more patience than I have, Timmy.
Okay, let's get our buddy in West Bend, Kenny. Beer count, Kenny, what's your count at here? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, gentlemen. How are you today? There's my Polish brother from another mother sitting next to you over there.
Big Kenny. How many bunnies you eat today?
You know what? I actually, because I hit it hard for the last few days, I've been up in the North Woods, and so I'm only at four today. The BC's only at four. And I'll tell you, there's a few things going on with this team, and Tim, you hit it on the head, 23 games in. But in baseball, like any other team sport, it's called chemistry, right? And right now, this team has four guys in their lineup that hit decent and four that are absolute turds out of their eight hitters. They probably got the best hitting pitchers in the league, which has saved this team on several of these wins. And they're one game out. With all this being said, they're a game back, and they've been leading most of this early season.
Yep.
But, you know, your last caller that called in and said, well, you got to sit Zeus. Thames was a turd last year when Zeus was outstanding. And now Thames has actually learned how to not swing out of his shoes, per se. And he's had some very productive hits where he's hit the ball the opposite way. He's done things well. I am a firm believer in going with the hot hand, especially with the bat. Shaw, at this point in time, I think both guys on the corner for this next series, if I were counsel and you're listening, Craig, sit both Aguilar, sit both Aguilar and Shaw, put it Moustakas back over there at third base, and go ahead and bring in Thames and let him play these guys at the corners. Now listen, and you know there's a guy that I'd really like to see them bring up. They had the kid in preseason, you know, in the Cactus League. Bring the kid Keston here up. Get a damn second baseman in there that can play the position. Not that Moustakas can't, but that's not where he's supposed to be. I truly think that our Billy Bean Stearns, the wheels are spinning up there in the booth, and they're doing different things in the upper office, I should say, in the front office, where they're looking at some point in time here, and granted, we're only 23 games in, they're going to be making some moves. Our pitching, though, is nothing like it was last year. The starting pitching has been, to say the least. We just don't have that pitching that gets you there. When people were complaining about the hitting, I don't know what the average runs for this team is that they're scoring per game, but it's got to be over 4.5, almost 5. So run production, when you look at their numbers, it hasn't been bad. And to come back today and lose the way they lost, you know, I think Council's hands are kind of tied in terms of bringing in the kid Hader in the ninth inning. I have no issue with that move. It's an unfortunate thing. He threw a ball that was dead over the plate. That breaking ball was belt high. It was a mistake. I saw it on TV. His other pitches were outstanding, Tim.
Oh, he had a dynamite inning going, and it was, he was one strike away. But Beer Count Kenny, I got to let you go, man. Keep the faith happy.
I haven't lost it. I'm right on with you, boys. Just hang in there. It's a long season. We've got a lot of games. There's still 125 games to go, guys.
Hey, Kenny, have you ever poked a hole in one of those hollowed Easter bunnies and filled it with vodka?
No, I'm not a vodka drinker. Give me a good bourbon.
All right, well, try that and try that tonight and let us know how it tasted tomorrow, will you?
That's
horrible. See ya. All right. Have a good one.
799-1250. Let's get to Craig Counsell as he spoke shortly after the game.
It felt like a good baseball game, is what it was. You know, they controlled the first, you know, four innings pretty significantly, and we didn't have much going. We didn't have a hit, and they're up 5-0. And, you know, Lowe's hit brings us back in, and our bullpen did a really nice job. And then we had a couple rallies that couldn't get a run, and then Eric comes up with a big hit. So, it's a good baseball game. You know, in the end, their best player got our best pitcher, and, you know, that's the game.
Are there any conclusions to draw, you think, from Josh? That's three in a row now where he's given up a homer?
No, I don't. I mean, he left the slide over the middle of the plate. You know.
I mean, Bellinger also had the impact with Robbie Christian.
Yeah. No, he made it. Man, both teams made great defensive plays in the outfield. It was a good baseball game. There was a lot of good plays, you know, all over the field. Fun game.
What'd you make it Woody today?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first two innings were a struggle. They punched him kind of right away, and then that hurt. I feel like Woody's really close here. He pitched really well the last, you know, 3 2/3. The stuff was really good. He made some mistakes early in the game that some middle mistakes that they punished. When he got the ball where he wanted to, he got outs.
You know what it's like for Thames, come off the bench, one of the best closers in baseball, and to have that moment, just how difficult is it for him to be?
No, I mean, you know, we're pulling on everything we can, and it's a great at bat. That's obviously, Jansen is one of the best. Not an easy guy to do that against, right off the bench. And Eric put together a really nice at bat, fouled off a couple of pitches, and then got one over the middle. It's really good at bat.
All right, there he is, Craig Counsell, after the Brewers 6-5 loss. And we can, well, maybe be a little happier, because we're going to go over what happened in 1987. Those of you, again, those of you that are old enough to remember that, was amazing. It really was, and it was crazy afternoon on Easter Sunday, 1987 for Team Streak. We'll take a break and be back. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag full speed ahead. Tickets are available for this Thursday and Friday. Best of five playoff series. Friday, if necessary, $8 can get you in the door to see the Admirals playoff hockey. And we'll be back here on The Fan.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
Right, welcome back. A little forward thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners. FFPWI.com as the Brewers fall 6-5 on this Easter Sunday. They fall in the game and lose the series 3-1. And they're 13-10 through the first 23 games here in the 2019 championship season. We'll be a little happier here. Forward thinking is get to that off day. I think an off day will do this team wonders, and that off day is going to come on Thursday. And they've got a 3-game set starting tomorrow night in St. Louis as, you know, 13 straight games against the Cardinals and Dodgers down to the final three. And as I said, night and day game. Imagine that. St. Louis gives you a getaway day game in St. Louis.
Yeah, they're usually not so nice.
Not at all. So a little forward thinking, they can still cap this 13-game run against tough competition with a nice record. So we wish them the best, and we'll be talking Brewers baseball, as you know, after the last pitch as you make the switch. And go back to 1987. Some, let's see, 32 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
32 years ago, and those of you, and again, I apologize if you're a little bit younger and you don't really understand the scope of what happened in 87, but the Brewers come out of the season winning the first 11 straight games. They eventually go on to win 13 straight, but you thought the streak was over at 11 at County Stadium. And are we at the point now where we say Old County Stadium?
Well, no, because you know you would be if anybody called Miller Park County Stadium.
Okay, right.
You know, then it would be Old County Stadium and New County Stadium.
Right.
Yeah, now it's just County Stadium and Miller.
And so they're in a series against the Rangers, and they're down in the game 4-1 into the ninth inning. You're thinking the streak's over. I mean, at some point you're going to lose a baseball game, right? So you've won 11 straight to start off the 1987 championship season. And the ninth inning comes around, and we're like, oh, man, come on. You still had some hope, but you just knew it might come to a close. With the Brewers down 4-1, bottom of the ninth inning, Glenn Braggs drew a walk. Remember Glenn Braggs? Yeah. Greg Brock then had a base hit to put two runners on, bring up the tying run right there. And just like today's eighth inning, you just want to get late in the game, you just want the tying run to get to the plate. And they did that almost immediately. Well, immediately, a walk and a base hit. Rick Manning then was inserted into the game for Greg Brock to pinch run. And Cecil Cooper makes the first out of the inning, a fly out to center field. Rob Deer then steps to the plate. 11 straight games, victories, I should say. 11 straight victories to start out the 87 season. There's one out, two on, down three for Rob Deer.
It'll be tough for Deer to pull it enough to get it out of here on a windy day like today. He's 1-for-3 with a solo homer. Now he's 2-for-4 with a three-run homer.
Bobby said it correctly. If you put the ball breaking ball where you want to, and that ball stayed right back over the plate, Rob Deer not going to miss a pitch like that, and he crushed that ball.
Rob Deer knew it was gone, didn't he?
And we're going nuts, those of you that remember it. I mean, again, I wanted to walk you through this. So the game is tied right there. at four apiece. Now you're thinking, hey man, come on, you got to make it. You got to make it 12 in a row. Let's get it done. BJ Surhoff then strikes out for the second out of the inning. Here's a pivotal at bat, and those that remember this, Jimmy Gantner then works a walk. And that was pivotal because it set the stage for a guy that has been a Milwaukee mainstay, or at least was. He's now with his friend Ned Yost and has achieved some pretty good success in Dale Swain. But he stepped up, well, number seven stepped up, man on first, two outs, tie ball game, winning streak on the line, and here's what happened.
Long one to right. 12 in a row! And this is what capped it off. Dale Swaim, a 3-2 fastball from Greg Harris, a man aboard, two outs, bottom of the ninth inning. Tie ball game, and it's no longer tied. 6-4 Milwaukee victory.
Yeah, pretty crazy there. And again, those of you old enough and big-time Brewers fans, you knew where you were at that point. I just wanted to run through this here for you real quick as well, just mainly for folks that would get a kick out of this. The box score in that game, Paul Molitor was 0 for 4. Robin Yount, 1 for 4. Glenn Braggs went 1 for 3. Greg Brock, 3 for 4. Rick Manning, he ended up in the box score, was a pinch runner, scored a run. Cecil Cooper went 0 for 4. Rob Deere, 2 for 4, 2 runs scored, 4 knocked in, a 2-homer game for Rob Deere. B.J. Surhoff went 1 for 4. Jimmy Gantner went 1 for 2 with a couple of walks, one big, a couple of runs scored. Dale Swaim, the big blow there, the game winner, went 1 for 4. That run scored and two big RBIs. Pitchers used, Mike Birkbeck, Paul Mirabella, Chris Bosio, and Mark Clear all pitched in that game. Clear recorded the win in the Brewers' 12th consecutive win to start out that 87 season on Easter Sunday 32 years ago. That's fun stuff. And I know Bruce, he remembers that. He remembers where he was. Bruce, you're on the fan. What's up?
How you doing, Tim? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's two moves I'd make on the Brewers. Aguilar would not start till the next left-hander. And we played a guy that hit the free run homer today. What's his name?
Thames.
And then the other thing, Hager would not be my closer. It'd be Jeffries. If he's on the roster and he can pitch, he's got four pitches, and why you throw an off speed pitch to Bellinger? You got to be out of your mind. You get him two pitches. That's one thing. And you don't throw your best pitch on the third pitch. That's what he's doing. He's trying to outsmart these guys. Well, guess what? Bellinger is a lot smarter than he is, and that's why we're losing, because he's got two pitches, and that's all he's got. And you know what? If what's his name's on the roster and he can't pitch, then he should not be on the roster.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you on that part with JJ. But Bruce, I mean, we wanted to be happy. Do you remember where you were, 87, Easter Sunday?
Yeah, I was at the game.
You were there.
Yes, I was. Okay, so Tim, let me ask you a question. Would you pay Thames at first? I think
Bruce, first, we're trying to be happy today, buddy.
There's nothing to be happy about.
No. I like your plan. I do like your plan. To when Zeus does start getting some bench time, the only light of day you should see right now is against left-handers. Bruce, I got to scoot because we got to squeeze in another call and then get to a break. But no, that's not a bad plan. You may see that plan. I mean, you could. All right, well, so we don't have time to get to it. All right, we got a break right now. I was trying to be happy there.
I wanted to find out what Bruce's haircut looked like back in the 80s. You know, if he could describe his haircut, you know, maybe, you know, because I picture him wearing kind of one of those, you know, puffy old Miller Lite jackets or something out there, you know.
The satin shiny jackets.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's the longish, kind of curly-ish hair.
Yes.
Real kind of bushy style, you know.
And I wonder what his beer count was at then as well, because back then, the crazy thing is, Chuck Freeman and I have talked about this in the past, the crazy thing, you remember County Stadium, They serve the beers in the cups, those plastic paper cups.
Oh, yeah.
And you just had a blast. When you were done, you flipped them upside down, and you stomped on them, and it was poppers throughout the whole park. It was like 4th of July every night at County Stadium. That's what it sounded like because of the beer consumption, and the people would stack them up and see how many they could do in a row. It was crazy back then. We'll take a break and be back. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag full speed ahead. Best of five playoff series Thursday and Friday if necessary. Get your tickets for as low as $8. Brewers fall today 6-5. We'll be back on The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, final couple of minutes here. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag full speed ahead. Playoff tickets Thursday, Friday, if necessary. Best of five, $8. Get your tickets. Cut loose a little bit. Thursday sounds good, too. I mean, you can follow the draft on your phone.
Yeah, but you know, you get the alerts every pick, so it's not hard to follow it along. Great hockey. Baby Tausch is going to be working at those Admirals games.
The Brewers are off that day, so it fits in well.
Yes, it does.
Indeed. All right, let's go to a final word here before we hear from Josh Hader. Let's get Mike in here. Mike, you're on The Fan.
Hey, guys. Appreciate it. Wanted to recall the 1987 Easter game. I have a cool memory from it. I'm 37 years old, right? So in 1987, I was six, and we were visiting my uncle in Iowa City, Iowa. Okay. So this story you got to think about. So 1987, obviously no internet, no real way to watch a lot of the games, and so it was. You know, obviously it was a time when if you weren't listening to the game or weren't there, you probably weren't hearing much about it until the next day, right? So. We're in Iowa, and obviously the Brewers had won 11 straight, and we couldn't really follow the game anyway. However, my uncle knew of this hill, this high point in Iowa City, where if you drove the car up to that point, you could very, very, a lot of static, but you could get 620. You could listen to the game. And so think about that time. We drove our car up to this hill just to hear on the radio the game. And so I remember sitting there, my dad, my uncle, and, you know, listening to it. Obviously, the big home run by Swaim and all of that. But just it was a cool time in my life. It was one of those, you know, obviously it's a year you always remember being a six-year-old and thinking, you know, hey, you never forget it. So just I know – it was a happy time, and obviously last year being so great, this year, you know, I think the expectations might be a little high considering last year, but wanted to share that memory.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That Mike, man, that is a cool story because I, like you, remember the days of no internet and all those things, and not to sound old, man, it's just the reality of it. When you wanted to follow a baseball game, you had to, in a lot of cases, literally, you're at the bar, and you're right that there was limited TV coverage back then. I mean, you may have gotten a couple of games a month.
Yeah.
And you'd literally have to go out to the parking lot and get in your car and turn on the radio. That's the way a lot of us did it back then. It's just what you had to do unless you were at the game. So I don't know if that affected attendance or whatever, but that's just the way it was back then. And then most of your information came on like a 12-minute post-game show on the radio.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to get the paper the next day. And I remember, you know, I couldn't wait for the paper way back when the Milwaukee had a morning paper, the Milwaukee Sentinel. And I couldn't wait. And I got a subscription to that just simply because of Brewers baseball back then. And used my own paper route money to get that subscription. It was crazy.
Well, and if Mike's childhood was anything like mine, Mike, I'm sure you were sitting in the back seat. Your parents had the windows up, smoking their brains out. You're getting fogged out of the car trying to listen to this static-filled game on the radio. That is phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was one of those things where, as a kid, you don't know any better. So this is like, hey, this is cool. We get to hear the Brewers, and obviously that time that year, you know, they had a really good team, didn't make the playoffs or win the division, but it was just a year, all the great players, and really, it was a year I fell in love with the game. So just, you know, it's that Easter Sunday, thinking about where we are now, where hey, any place in the world, basically, you could just click on that app, listen to the game or follow it, and think, man, it wasn't too long ago. We had to go on top of a hill just to hear it through AM radio. So
that's a great story.
It's a cool memory, yeah.
Great story. Yeah. Hey, Mike, we're going to call you King of the Hill, Mike.
Sounds good. All right. I'll call in again. I expect that name to stick. All right.
All right. You got it. You got it, Mike. Happy Easter.
Fantastic call.
It's wild that to follow the game. He's right. You could just tap your phone, man, and you can get. You know, these days you can get, well, what do I want to listen to? Do I want to listen to the Dodgers call, or do I want to listen to the Brewers call? I mean, you can hear it all. It's crazy. So that's the good thing about technology is that, you know, you can do it that way. Back then, man, it was just nuts. Again, papers and radio.
That's it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. All right, let's find a word here. Saw this guy yesterday, had a couple of words with him, and we chatted for a little bit. Nothing on the record or on the air or anything, but Josh Hader gave up the home run today. He's going to give up runs. It's just a matter of, you know, where those runs are played. And unfortunately, you're in a save situation. They're painful when you do, and we realize that. Here's Josh Hader after the Brewers lost today.
No, it's definitely, I mean, for Ida, you know, put us back in the ballgame. I mean, we were down pretty early, and to him put us in the position that we were, it's huge. And, you know, it just comes down to executing your pitch. Bellinger's swinging a hot bat right now, and he made me pay for it.
Josh, just how evenly matched are these teams? It feels like every time you guys play, it's these kinds of back-and-forth games.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I said before. I mean, this team is a good team, you know, 1-9, even on the bench, but... we play good games, and that's what it's about. And, you know, sometimes it comes out happy, sometimes it doesn't. And just got to move on, you know, continue to work on executing and, you know, continue to keep them off balance.
Three straight games, Josh, they've gotten for a homer or other. Is it just as simple as missing spot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at all the pitches, I mean, I'm leaving them right down the middle, you know, especially on 0-2. I mean, PK's was, you know, up and over the middle. And then the slider just spun and left and over the middle. I mean, big league hitters too. So you know, you got to execute your hit. You got to execute your pitches.
Why do you think that's happening? Just the way it is. Just the season.
These big league hitters. I mean, can't be perfect every time. You know, just the way it goes. You leave it over the plate. That's the way they. That's what they do. They got to hit your mistakes. And you know, if they're not, then you know, luck's on your side. So. Just going back and really focus on executing those 0-2s and make sure they're you know, down and away.
Josh, it's been a long time since you guys had a losing homestand. You know, what do you make of the 3-4 record here?
You know, it's baseball. It is what it is. You know, we can't just sit on this and act like the season's over. I mean, we got a long season ahead of us, and just really focus on the little things and get back to the baseball we know how to play.
Thank you
guys.
Well, there he is, Josh Hader, and dude handles it well, man. He doesn't run and hide. Great rest to your Easter Sunday, and happy Easter to everybody. I'm going to, I think, take a break if I'm allowed to. I've settled down a little bit, but I still need to cool the jets a little bit. I'm just tired and exhausted and sick of the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah,
they're tough. I get it. They're really good. Totally respect it. But Man, that's just a tough one. So, Pipe Bomb, you have a great rest of your Easter, and Sam Schmitz behind the glass over there. Same to you, and we'll talk at you tomorrow night. Bucks in play, so that means Facebook Live for another Facebook Live post-game show. Talking Brewers and Cardinals after game one of this three-game set. They hit the road, and final three games of this 13 consecutive against the Dodgers and Cardinals. The Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show gets you ready for game one. That's on at 6 tomorrow, and after the last pitch, you make the switch. Facebook Live, Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. Hashtag full speed ahead. Best of five playoff series Thursday and Friday. Tickets available Friday if necessary. Tickets available for as low as $8. You guys have a great Easter, and remember, despite the outcome today, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.